tall, and I suppose that's what led to his strong interest in women's clothing. He did have talent, but he had no idea how to deal with people. Here he was, a designer of women's clothing, but when he came into a woman's presence, he would blush and behave crazily. In other words, we were both strays who had become separated from the herd.
They married the following year, 1963, and the child they gave birth to in the spring of the year after that, the year of the Tokyo Olympics, was Cinnamon. His name was Cinnamon, wasn't it?
No sooner was Cinnamon born than Nutmeg brought her mother into the house to take care of him. She herself had to work non-stop from morning till night and had no time to care for infants. Thus, Cinnamon was more or less raised by his grandmother. It was never clear to Nutmeg whether she had ever truly loved her husband as a man. She lacked any criterion by which to make such a judgment, and this was true for her husband also. What had brought them together was the power of a chance meeting and their shared passion for fashion design. Still, their first 10 years together were fruitful for both. As soon as they were married, they left their respective companies and set up their own independent design studio in an apartment in a small west-facing building just behind Aoyama Avenue. Poorly ventilated and lacking air conditioning, the place was so hot in summer that the sweat would make their pencils slip from their grasps. The business did not go smoothly at first. Nutmeg and her husband both had an almost shocking lack of practical business sense, as a result of which they were easily duped by unscrupulous members of the industry, or they would fail to secure orders because they were ignorant of standard practice or would make obvious, simple mistakes. Their debts mounted to become so great that at one point it seemed the only solution would be to abscond. The breakthrough came when Nutmeg happened to meet a capable business manager who recognized their talent and could serve them with integrity. From that point on, the company developed so well that all their previous troubles began to seem like a bad dream. Their sales doubled each year until, by 1970, the little company they had started on a shoestring had become a miraculous success, so much so that it surprised even the arrogant, aloof young couple who had started it. They took on more staff, moved to a big building on the avenue, and opened their own shops in such fashionable neighborhoods as the Ginza, Aoyama, and Shinjuku. Their original line of designer clothes often figured in the mass media and became widely known. Once the company had reached a certain size, the way they divided work between themselves began to change. While designing and manufacturing clothes might be a creative process, it was also, unlike sculpting or novel writing, a business upon which the fortunes of many people depended. One could not simply stay at home and create whatever one liked. Someone would have to go out and present the company's face to the world. This need increased as the size of the company's transactions continued to grow. One of them would have to appear at parties and fashion shows to give little speeches and hobnob with the guests and to be interviewed by the media. Nutmeg had no intention of taking on that role, and so her husband became the one to step forward. Just as poor at socializing as she was, he found the whole thing excruciating at first. He was unable to speak well in front of a lot of strangers and would come home from each such event exhausted. After 6 months of this, however, he noticed that he was finding it less painful. He was still not much of a speaker, but people did not react to his brusque and awkward manner the way they had when he was young. Now they seemed to be drawn to him. They took his curt style, which derived from his naturally introverted personality, as evidence not of arrogant aloofness, but rather of a charming artistic temperament. He actually began to enjoy this new position in which he found himself, and before long he was being celebrated as a cultural hero of his time.
"You've probably heard his name," Nutmeg said. "But in fact, by then, I was doing two-thirds of the design work myself. His bold original ideas had taken off commercially, and he had already come up with more than enough of them to keep us going. It was my job to develop and expand them and give them form. No matter how large the company grew, we never hired other designers. Our support staff expanded, but the crucial part we did ourselves. All we wanted was to make the clothing we wanted to make, not worry about the people who would buy it. We did no market research or cost calculations or strategy planning. If we decided we wanted to make something a certain way, we designed it that way, used the best materials we could find, and took all the time we needed to make it. What other houses could do in two